This is the first Sunday after Easter. And, you know, I'm going to do several messages talking about what Jesus did for us. Today, I want to focus on, you know, what it's like for us since he's been raised from the grave. And if you want a title today, it's called, It's a New Day. Now, the prophet Isaiah said the people who lived in darkness and sin, separation from God, saw a great light when Jesus came. Actually, Isaiah 9:2, and then Matthew quoted it in Matthew 4:16. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. You know, people are in the darkness of sin and shame. People are walking in the darkness of pain and sickness. People are walking in the darkness of lack and poverty. But I got good news for you. There's a bright light shining. It's a new day. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again on that third day, a new light shined. We went from the dark midnight hour unto the sunrise of the morning. You may have been going through dark places You may have been in a season of sorrow, but let me tell you what, Jesus has made a brand new day for you. You know, I don't know who said this, but it's a good saying. If it weren't for Jesus, it would be the same old day. Now Jesus has come to give us new life and a new day. You know, since Jesus has risen from the dead, it's a new day. You know, the Lord God never made any days that was empty. Every day is full of the promises of God. Every day is filled with the redemptive realities of God. Now, that's one of my favorite subjects to teach on is redemptive realities, meaning who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. Every day, God's power and glory is available to us who have believed on him. The prophet Malachi in Malachi 4:2 looked ahead and saw this new day. And he said, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings and shall go out, and you shall go out and grow fat like a stalled calf." The contemporary English version says, "But you that honor my name, victory will shine like the sun with healing in its rays, and you'll jump around like calves at play." Now, most of you don't understand that. But if you've ever been on a ranch or on a farm, and you let these young calves that have been up in the stall or been in a small corral, you let them out to the I let them out in the pasture, and man, you talk about jumping and kicking and running. How many of you have ever seen that happen? You know. Well, you can sometimes do that with some of the horses if they've been in a stall for a long time. You let them out where they'll kick and run and jump. You know, that's what it's saying here. It describes that our new day with Jesus Christ, we can run and jump and enjoy life. You know, the sun has risen. And we are not in darkness anymore. I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I'm talking about the S-O-N. The Son of God has risen. We're not in the midnight hour. We're in the sunrise of the morning. You know, Rick Sharkey, one of my minister friends, he pastors in Spokane, Washington, and he lives up on top of a little mountain there. And he will send me pictures of sunrise off of his porch. And, you know, he's got a great view out over the valley and so forth and so on. And, you know, it's beautiful when that sun is beaming out across there. You know, the Son of God has risen like the morning sun. Amen. We're able to step into the new day that God has for us. You know, when Craig was 13, he had a brain tumor. And, you know, we immediately had to have, they told us that we had to either have immediate healing or that his life was in danger. And so we went to the City of Faith and did the surgery. I sat outside of that operating room from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. They came out. They said that operation was perfect, that it was a textbook operation. One of the ladies that was one of the surgical nurses was a follower of our ministry, and she told us, she said, I've been believing God for healing for my back, and the power of God was so strong in that operating room that I was healed during the operation. Hallelujah. You know, it seemed like a dark time, but I'm going to tell you what a glorious moment whenever we got the report from back that, you know, that was a great time, because you can be in the darkness of night in your life, but when you hear, you just believe in God, and then you hear the report, it's like somebody turned the lights on. Amen. You know, you may be in a bad day today, and it may be dark as far as you're concerned, but let me tell you, Jesus has risen from the dead, and it's a new day, and the light of Jesus Christ is shining in your life to direct your path, to give you a new day, to give you a new life. You know, Jesus has risen with victory for us. The Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to read that from the NIV. That is the New King James. NIV says, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Salvation here, meaning not just salvation from sin. This is salvation from everything. This is the day God is moving for you. This is the day that God has healing, deliverance, safety, provision, protection just for you. You know, sometimes we talk about waiting on God. But I want to tell you what, God's waiting on you because he's already made it available for you. It's up to you to make the new day in your life. It's up to you to live a victorious life. Jesus came, he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he sits at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for us. You know, some people say, oh, it would have been nice to been born at this time or lived at this time. No, you're at the right place at the right time right now. You're living in the best time of human history. The day of deliverance has dawned. It's a new day. Tell your neighbor, it's a new day. It's a new day because the day of deliverance has come because of Jesus. He won the victory when he arose from the grave. He defeated sickness, disease. He made it possible that we don't have to be broke anymore. We don't have to be sick anymore. We don't have to be down and out anymore. We don't have to be discouraged anymore. The devil may be trying to discourage you. The devil may be trying to cause you to go into depression. But remember, you have God on your side. And you can't lose for going over. Hallelujah. It's a new day. You know, Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The NLT says it like this: despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ. Then Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. It's a new day because of Christ. In all the things that come your way, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Despite all these things, what things? Depression, disease, lack. Whatever in the name is that's causing you a problem in all these things. Overwhelming. Not just victory. Overwhelming victory. Hallelujah. Because of the new day that's just dawned when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, I'm not talking about it's just a new day because of last Sunday. It's been a new day ever since he walked out of that grave. It's been a new day. And it will be a new day until he comes again and takes us out of here. Hallelujah. I don't know if anybody getting excited, but I am. Oh, kick the devil out. It's my day. Say it, it's my day. Because Jesus made it my day, a day of victory. Hallelujah. You don't have to sit around hoping and waiting that something's going to happen. You don't have to be beaten up by the devil. Jesus has already gotten everything you need. Too many people are waiting for their victory instead of going out and enjoying the victory. You can't get the victory on your own, but Jesus, because Jesus already got it. You can't get something that's already been done. Hello. All we need to do is connect with Jesus and walk in that victory and enjoy it. You know, this is the day that Jesus has made because it's a new day. All the promises of God are available to you. And, you know, we go right back to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God. I like the NIV says it, for no matter how many promises God has made, no matter how many, the answer to it is yes in Christ. And through him we say amen, or so be it. Hallelujah. The promises of God are available for us in this new day. Because of the new day, we can receive everything that God said belonged to us. Not because of who we are. Not because that we think we know the answer, but because of what Jesus did. It's a new day. Get a hold of that fact, a new day. How many have ever known that there is an event and it's coming up? In fact, sometimes they have countdowns. Well, go for the New Year's. You know, they have the countdown and all. It's so funny. With television now, you can see it happening in the other part of the world before it ever gets here. But they count down for the new year. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Over 2,000 years ago, they took a man off of the cross named Jesus. They put him in a grave. They sealed the tomb. And the countdown started. 1 day went by. 2 days went by. But on that third day, they counted it down. That stone was rolled away. And Jesus stepped out of that grave. And all of the promises of God became real for you. Hallelujah. See, we're in the driver's seat. God is waiting for us to do something. God has made everything available to us in the new day, but we're in charge of attaining it. You're the one that have to obtain it. How many of you drive a car? That car is capable of taking you wherever you want to go, right? But not unless you go into action. You got to open a door and get in. You either got to put a key in or have a key in your pocket and press the button and start the car. You're in the car, the car's running, but you're still not going anywhere until you put it in gear and press on that accelerator. You're not moving. You can know all about God and that it's a new day. You can rejoice and say, oh, well, hallelujah, woo. Come on. But until you begin to confess God's word and start the thing rolling, nothing happens. Just like that car. Nothing happens till you start it rolling. Nothing happens with the promises of God in your life until you start making them happen. I want to tell you something. Satan cannot control your life anymore when you learn about this new day in Jesus. When you learn that you can do something about it. When you learn that through Jesus Christ in this new day, you are in control by speaking the word. When the enemy comes in, all you have to do is say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. All of my needs are met according to his riches in glory. Come on now. Come on now. You know, the Bible says, let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Another translation says, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. The one who made the promise is faithful. Another one says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. In other words, keep a firm grip by confessing the word daily. Our victory comes in the new day by us confessing what God said. Our victory is maintained by confessing continually the promises of God. The secret of success is hidden in your daily routine, somebody said. I don't know who said that. You know, Cameron there, my grandson, he drives race cars. But it's a well-known fact, the race is won, not on the racetrack, the race is won in the garage. Getting everything ready. Getting it all set up. Getting it ready. Then the driver goes on the racetrack and he can perform. Jesus has already set everything up. Now it's up to you to walk into this new day and begin to take advantage of what's already been done. Hello, how many understand what I'm saying to you? See, we need to realize that the more you confess the promise and be consistent confessing the promises of God, the more victory and the more you will stay in victory. You know, in many athletics, it's over and over again repetition. But in golf, they say that it's over and over again to get the muscles. So you have the same muscle reaction every time you make that swing. Is that not correct? The same thing here. We need to every day continually confess the word of God. You see, I'm convinced that a lot of people, the problem is that they're on again, off again. Okay. I go out and hit the ball, you know, occasionally. But somebody that goes out, like Brother Bill over here, he goes out and he swings that golf club at least once a week, maybe twice, you know. Then the muscle memory becomes, and it, you know, but I'm up here, I'm having to try to remember. But once you do it consistently so long, it the muscle memory is there. It's automatic. What I'm trying to get across to you, you need to continually confess the word of God daily. Confess the word of God daily until when the devil slaps you up beside the head. Instead of saying, oh no, what are we going to do? You begin to say, the Bible says. And you quote the word. Hello. You see, when we live by the constant, consistent confession of our faith in God's word, we live in victory. When we just start confessing the word, when we get in trouble, and God meets our need, then we forget about it. We're gonna ride the roller coaster of life. It's like me playing golf. I may go out because I don't play that much. I may go out and I may get a good shot. Yeah. Oh man. Everything went. But you know what? The next 10 shots may not be good at all. Why? Because I haven't been consistent to train myself to hit the same way every time. That's why I'm continuing to say to you, you got to continue to say the word. Say the word. Because it's a new, this, if you want to live in the new day, if you want to have victory in the new day, then you got to consistently confess the word of God. Now let me give you some things to do so that you can get your, so you're consistent. Find the scripture that covers your need. See, there's no use no use quoting scriptures on healing when you need finances. And there's no use quoting scriptures on finance when you need healing. Find the scripture. See, for your need. Now, you got in that golf bag, you got a driver and you got some 2-wood or 3-wood. You got some different number of irons. You got a pitching wedge and you got a sand wedge. You got a putter. You see, even though you have, you're consistent, you've been consistent. If you get the wrong club, you're still not going to do any good. I mean, say you're putting, and you go out there, and you get your 9-iron, Well, that's not a putter. That lifts the ball in the air. You want that putter, you want the ball to roll on the ground. You don't want it to get in the air. Am I right or wrong? See, so you got different clubs for different things. You know, as a teenager, I worked on the car. I worked on my cars. And I still took care of the vehicles up until they, you know, I would take care of them when we're out on the road traveling and so forth. And you know what? I had different tools for different size bolts and nuts. It's really hard to work on a car if you just got one wrench and it's a 9/16 inch wrench and you got an inch bolt. It don't work. So what am I trying to say to you? Find the scripture that covers your need and meditate on it. You know, I know some people, and this number two, write these verses down. So I know some people, they got verses for finances, verses for healing, verses for this, and they got them all ready written out, and then they're on the sheet of paper. Hey, you can do it with one of my phone right here, on one of my Bible deals. I can put together a group of scriptures for whatever need that I want, and then I can just go hit the button, and all those scriptures come up, and I can start reading them. Hello, that's what we need to do. Help me understand what I'm talking to you about, and confess these scriptures daily. Now, there's a fourth thing that a lot of people don't do. Oh, they get excited about the new day. They get excited about the promises of God. They get excited about confessing the promises of God. But they fail to go to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Now, what happens when you go to church with live fellow believers, it strengthens you. It helps you. You see, and it helps you to keep believing until you receive it. Hello. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I want you to remember it's a new day. But I want you to remember that the new day is up to you to take advantage of. Until you begin to do something about it, nothing happens. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments to stir up their pure minds and their spirits concerning you and the new day that you've given to them through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each of us to grab a hold of what is needed from this message and take it with us and make it a part of our daily life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment, please. I never like to have a message that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to accept Christ or to rededicate their life to God. You know, until you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, none of what I was talking about can become a reality in your life. And even if you once knew him, but you're not living like you should and you know it, you need to rededicate yourself to him so you can enjoy all of these benefits. Is there anybody in this place right now that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or you need to rededicate your life to God? Let me see your hand upstairs, downstairs, all over the room, wherever you're at. Let me see a hand. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life so that you can enjoy the new day that God has made for you. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are other hands that will be raised. A hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I have another invitation. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible says, not church creed or doctrine. The Bible said they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. If you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning and you're not, let me see your hand. We'll pray with you and you can leave here. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would everybody stand, please? I know I saw two hands, maybe three. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out and come down here. I want to shake your hand and I want to pray with you just like I said I would. So come on right now. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Come on. I'm waiting on you. I know two hands that were raised, and I think maybe three. Come on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in the balcony, just come on down. The ushers will help you get down there. Just come right here. Stand here. We'll wait for some more people to come. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you. Bless you. Thanks for bringing her. Just stand there with her. Praise the Lord. Come on. I know there was a couple more hands that were raised. I'm going to wait for just a moment. Come on. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I'm going to wait on you. Come on now. Come on now. I'm waiting for you. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're just going to pray with you today. Heavenly Father, thank you for this young lady. Father, I thank you that every spiritual need in her life will be met in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you can go with her. Just go with Christy and Greg right there to a special place where you can be prayed for individually and in depth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's see. 1843 on Rhema.tv and Facebook views. We had 100. I had 845 today. Praise the Lord. We're touching people all over the world. Amen. Y'all pray for the crusade team. This month, we are really hitting it hard on crusades. You know, I just got back off of one and now I'm going on another one. And then I got another one the last part of April. So y'all pray for the crusade team as we're out there. We'll be in Greensboro, North Carolina tonight. If anybody's in that area, come on out. We'll be there tonight, tomorrow night, and Tuesday night. Then on Wednesday, we go over to Lexington, Kentucky, and we'll be there Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Remember all the announcements. If you go out there and sign up to get involved with the production that will be going on for 4th of July. It's going to be a great production. I need your help, okay? Connection team, go find a first-time guest. Take them to get that special gift right now. And pray tonight. Hey, staff, go to the doors. Tonight, 6 o'clock, right here. Amen. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock hour of power. Be here, okay? Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus, and he's going to dismiss you in just a minute. I got to get down that aisle right there and go shake your hand. If you want to see any of the pastors, that's where we are right now, shaking hands with people. Hey, remember, it's a new day. God bless. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.